That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Out in the left coast and also in the east coast, all the flyover states, and to all the people listening to us in other countries, welcome. This was a day of remembering for many, a day off. Martin Luther King Day. King was, of course, a spokesman for peace, nonviolent activism, and the civil rights movement. Really the father of it. And if you have to go back into history to figure out when we started actually observing Martin Luther King Day, you'll remember Ronald Reagan signed the holiday into law back in 83. It didn't kick in until 86. If you have never heard the I Had a Dream speech, we're going to air it now for the next 5 minutes in its entirety. So kick back and get ready to be inspired.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
All right, Martin Luther King Jr. It's interesting, the NAACP did a clever thing today to honor Martin Luther King Jr. What they did was on their website, what they posted was this, I have a dream, and then wanted you to finish the sentence. King used that phrase in the speech we just heard, and it goes down as one of the top 10 speeches of all times, perhaps even much higher than that, 1963 in Washington. And how did you celebrate the day? Were you off? Did you take a few minutes to remember? Or did you think about where we are right now as a country in this observation? As I mentioned, first observed Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 1986. And remember, in 94, Congress kicked in designating it a national day of service. So the president and the first lady participated in a service project in Washington. At one point, because cameras are always following the president, he said this is part of what America is all about, especially after this rough, painful week where so many of us were focused on the tragedy in Tucson. It's good for us to remind ourselves of what this country is all about. So coming up on America Tonight, a different perspective. You might know this man, Robert Peters. He was on Larry King a ton of times and a bunch of other shows, too, as well. Morality in the Media. He is the president of Morality in the Media, and he has a different take on the shootings in Tucson, what happens when something violent goes down in this country, what are the first things that we look for. He'll talk about that, and also to lighten the load and coming up right here on the flip side, February 6th is Super Bowl Sunday. A lot of people are planning Super Bowl parties. In fact, people who never throw parties, you throw parties maybe one time a year. This is when they decide to throw them because you can do it pretty cheaply, let's face it. You get the beer on ice, get those chips flowing, and some of that nasty 9-layer, 10-layer, 7-layer dip, and you are set. Then you do the squares. Ashley Kleinhardt coming up on the flip side to tell you how you can do a Super Bowl party. Hang with us.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge. Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Well, can you believe it? And by the way, we'll have a nail the score for the Super Bowl. Remember, all you have to do is once we announce the game of the week, which will be the team that's already set, so now you get a chance to do a little prep. You tell us who you think's going to win the Super Bowl and what you think the final score will be. And I know a lot of people are going to be going to parties, and a lot of people want to do their own party. I've run into about four or five people who say, this year I'm actually going to do it at my place. So we thought it'd be fun to have Ashley Kleinert back with us. She's an event planner extraordinaire in any event. It's her company. Of course, we've talked to her in the past here on America Tonight. Ashley, thanks so much for coming back on ATN.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate, for having me.
You know, the Super Bowl is the second biggest day for eating in the United States.
Yes. Oh.
How bad? I know, just thinking about it. And I'm thinking in my head those seven-layer dips and chips. And it is a chip and dip kind of thing, isn't it?
It sure is. That is exactly right, because it's football. And, you know, being in Dallas right now, it's all about the Super Bowl. That's all we're hearing about. And there are plenty of people that have tickets, but there's a lot of people that don't have tickets, and they are going to be having their own parties at home, and people are stressing out about it. And the point is, it's football, so we kind of go by that motto: KISS, kiss, keep it simple, sweetheart. Don't overthink it. It's not a bridal shower; it's a football party.
I like that, kiss, keep it simple, sweetheart. That's good. Uh-huh. I'm feeling that. Okay, so when you go to plan, is it still good to know, have a head count? Because it could be disastrous, right? If you think you're going to have maybe even just 35 people, then all of a sudden 80 show up. That'd be pretty tough.
That would be tough. That would be really bad. So definitely, it's kind of like every other party. You want to plan ahead. And you pointed out exactly something I was going to say, too, about it being next to Thanksgiving, the highest food consumption day of the year. So you don't want your guests slipping off into your bathroom calling Pizza Hut for a pizza delivery. You need to feed them because they're going to come hungry. And that's different than just a regular gathering of friends in your home. But it lasts a long time. It's a long game. There's lots of downtime, lots of chatting and talking and lots of eating and drinking, too. So depending on what you're serving. So people do expect to be fed more than just the dip and the Chex Mix and the M&Ms.
So what would you serve if you were doing this? And this is, you're probably great at this. You've got to be a terrific host because you know all the ins and outs.
Oh.
But what would you, I like how you, I can hear you cringing in there. What would you do? Would you lay some sort of a menu out? Do finger foods? Or what would you do if you were planning?
Yeah, absolutely, Kate. Because, again, it's football, so you just want to make it simple. What we're going to do, we are having a party, and we're going to do different stations, if you will. We're going to have a mashed potato station, which is really easy. You can even, you know, hope my guests aren't listening to this, but you can even do instant mashed potatoes. But have a big pot of mashed potatoes and then all the fixings. So people come and fill up a bowl and put bacon and sour cream and cheese and all kinds of interesting things you can think of on top of the mashed potatoes. We're also going to have a chili bar, have a big pot of chili on the stove and Fritos and cheese and onions and all that kind of stuff again, and you kind of just make your own chili bowl. And, you know, keep it warm and keep it going so people can come and go in the kitchen as they are hungry. And we're going to have a lot of food up front the first half, and then second half, bring out some desserts and some, you know, just keep feeding them. Bring out the sweet stuff then.
Right. So a good idea. You broke it down for us actually using the game analogy. First half, give them the main course. Give them whatever
right.
it is, the food stations, if
right.
it's pizza, if it's
right.
hamburgers or whatever, and then go to the dessert. Just jump to the dessert.
Right.
What would, and it's kosher. It's okay. You're not supposed to serve lobster. I mean, the whole idea here is
right.
you do what you're doing. Nobody's expecting that.
No, they're not. And you can, if you don't want to do it, you can do it when your guests are there. If you don't want to, if you have a bunch of people coming, you can pre-grill hot dogs and pre-grill burgers and then just keep them warm in the oven. It's so easy and just serve ballpark food. People, like you said, they're not expecting lobster. This is the time to really just have fun and keep it simple.
Yeah. Do you think parties, the way they're going now, last time you and I talked, we were talking about holiday parties and the fact
mm-hmm.
that there is a way to do it on a budget. Do you think the same thing for the Super Bowl?
Yep, absolutely. And one time, the one thing that really gets people in trouble is the planning. If you don't plan ahead and you start panicking at the last minute, I don't have enough food or I didn't think about this, it's those last minute runs to the store and you tend to overbuy or you buy things that, you know, you could have made at home or could have had someone bring. So just plan ahead and think about what you want. Again, it doesn't have to be fancy, but just think about it.
And we talked about this at the very beginning. The idea of having a head count is pretty important. So is it
right.
send out an
right.
invitation or get on a phone tree or what would you say? What would you do?
Right. We really like these Evites and you know, phone calls and Evites mm-hmm. make it real easy and easy to keep track of who's coming. And if they have kids, you might want to have a little kids section of your house. Sometimes you may want to invite a family over or families, plural. And so we're going to have a little room in our house with kid-sized tables and chairs, and they're going to decorate cookies and the frosting colors of the teams that are going to be playing. And we're going to have pin the football on the football player, you know, take off of pin the tail on the donkey on a wall, and little footballs they can throw through a hula hoop and kind of make it fun for them as well. And that's just another thing you can do that's not expensive at all, but it makes it a memory for them. And
yeah,
there's
no
games
kidding.
You can play.
Yeah, that's a great idea. What about, going from the kids, what about the liquor thing? How do you decide on what kind of liquor to have? I mean, you could have a keg of beer, or you could have different kinds of beer, or how do you decide
right.
that, Ash? I've always wondered about that anyway, because some people just like a little wine, some people like a Bloody Mary. What do you do?
I know. You know, we try to sometimes just having wine only. I think, oh, people aren't going to drink beer, and they do. So we really do recommend, if you're going to serve alcohol, have a mixture. Again, it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be fancy. But there's some stores that sell, even your grocery stores sell wines with really funny names. And there's some that are geared towards football that are kind of just fun to have out. I don't know how they taste, but they look good. They look fun.
Right.
And then I'd offer some beer. Just keep it in a big tub with ice. Keep it iced down. And then soft drinks and water. It's easy again. But I would offer both.
All right, so offer both. Another big thing at Super Bowl parties, as I'm sure you've been to some, you know, they do the squares where people just kick in a couple of dollars, and that's always big. Whether I lived in California or Dallas or Philadelphia or wherever, every place I ever went to, everybody did that. So will you be doing that, and do you think that's a good thing to do?
Yes, we would do. And it's so easy because you don't have to know much about football to participate. You know, you get a square with a number on it, and then depends on the score, which you have no control of if you win. And you can have the winning number at the end of the quarter or the end of the game, however you want to do it. But that good old football office pool or party office pool is a great thing to do. Another idea that we have are people that maybe aren't as into the game might have fun playing some of these other games. One idea is to divide the guests. As people walk into your party, we're going to have a bowl with the football team's star players' numbers written down on pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. And so they'll pick the piece of paper. They'll have a player to cheer on, and they have to cheer for them the entire game. And if that player fumbles or does something bad, we have, like, little gag gifts to give them. Or if the player scores and does anything great, we have a different prize for them. And that way it just kind of adds some more interaction. We're also going to have a commercial contest. Before the game, we're going to have everyone write down how many commercials will have random things featured in them, like, babies, monkeys, bikini-clad ladies, cars, beer, retired football players, and then assign a person to keep a tally throughout the game and, again, kind of award a little prize to the person who guesses closest to that number in all the categories.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea. Right now I know the light bulbs are going off and people can steal that idea. That's a great idea. So after Super Bowl, then now we have no parties. What's the biggest party after this Super Bowl? What do you think is the next thing people start to plan?
I think it's Valentine's Day.
Oh, you're kidding. That's right around the corner.
I know. There's always a party to be had.
There's always a party. You sound like an event planner.
You think?
All right, so next it's Valentine's Day, but you get a little bit of a break in between. February 6th,
right.
Super Bowl should be a lot of fun. Ashley, you gave us some terrific ideas. I especially love the idea of the star football players and the commercials. I think that's pretty cool. A lot, although the person keeping track of it, I hope you're paying them.
I know.
Right. That's no fun.
They get a big gift card.
Exactly. That's no fun. Ashley Kleiner, thanks so much. In any event, we appreciate the tips. I'm sure everybody listening to us here across America enjoyed them as well. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kay. Have a great night.
You too.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you have more than 4 hot flash episodes a day? Do you ever wake up at night soaked in sweat? Do you experience mood swings, heightened emotions, or sometimes feel on the verge of tears? Have you gained more than 5 pounds? Have you lost the energy level you had before menopause? Do you have low libido or no interest at all? If you said yes to any of these questions, you may be suffering with severe menopause symptoms and you qualify to receive a free month supply of Amberen. Amberen is the incredibly effective all-natural solution for menopause relief. It's backed by published clinical trials and 30 years of research. It has helped thousands of women get free from the awful symptoms of menopause. Call now and ask how you can receive 30 days of Amberen free of charge. Free supplies are limited, so go to AmberenTrial.com. That's AmberenTrial.com. Or call 1-800-318-8232. That's 1-800-318-8232. 1-800-318-8232.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
We've been talking about this now, it seems like, for well over a week. Well, it has been well over a week since the shootings in Tucson. Here on America Tonight, you know, loud and clear, certainly, how I feel about this blame it on the guns, 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 guns. It's always what seems to be rolled out in these cases, and yet they don't take a closer look at Jared Lee Loughner and what was really happening in this 22-year-old kid's life. Joining us now here on ATN, it's a pleasure to welcome Robert Peters to the show. He is the president of Morality in Media. And, Robert, I've seen you talk about this a couple of times before, and I know that this gets stuck in your craw, too. Why is there this knee-jerk reaction to automatically say it's the guns and, man, we need to clamp down on the regulation? See, this is what happens.
I don't know what the explanation is, but from my own background, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and I grew up in a small town in north central Illinois, and you know, people hunted. As a kid, you could have walked into the hardware store and purchased a gun. There were no laws that prevented it. But in my 18 years of growing up in a small town and going to a high school, about 2,000 kids, it was a township high school. Never in 18 years did anybody take a gun in the towns where I grew up and kill somebody. So, you know, the bottom line for me is I kind of take a middle position with guns. I live in New York City, and I've lived here a long time, and unfortunately people misuse guns in the city and shoot other people all the time. So I say somehow we have to have intelligent regulation of guns. But to blame this whole, you know, these endless mass murders, well, you know, back not too many years ago, the school kids were shooting each other. And, you know, to say that somehow that the whole explanation for this and the solution is to get rid of guns, I just think the explanation is deeper than availability of guns, because in the United States of America, guns have always been available, but it's only been quite recently when so many people use them to go out and shoot their, you know, the people they work with or their classmates or, mm-hmm. you know, random strangers in a shopping mall.
What do you think when you look at the media and how this all was portrayed and how it played out the last week? What did you pull out of that? What made you reel back besides the gun discussions?
Well, there were two things. You know, the other aspect. This happened. This particular mass murder involved an attempted assassination of a congresswoman and a Democratic congresswoman. So, in addition to pointing a finger at guns, our nation's liberal media also pointed a finger at the quote-unquote, you know, incendiary or hateful political rhetoric on the right. But the other point I made is, you know, we have two focuses at Morality and Media. One is fighting pornography. That's always been the number one issue. Second issue is the sex, the vulgarity, and violence in mainstream media. And, you know, it seems to me, you know, interestingly, you know, the liberal media is, you know, when it comes to regulation of media violence, let's say to protect children, the liberal media is always against that. And they often argue there's no evidence that kids are harmed by watching media violence. Well, I scratch my head and say, if it is true that unbalanced, unstable, vulnerable people can be influenced by incendiary political rhetoric, how can anybody in their right mind turn around and say that there is no negative influence from this endless glamorization of deadly violence in the entertainment media that these kids are growing up in?
Yeah, oh, I absolutely agree with you 100%. And it's the glamorization factor, I think, that is so frightening. I think the kids are drawn into that, and there's where I think you get into trouble with, I don't want to say glamorizing murder, but just the whole idea of what they're seeing.
There are a couple of influences that I think. One is simply the glamorization of gun violence. You know, I grew up, you know, kind of, you know, in a rough and tumble community, you know, and getting in fights in sports, played football in high school and college, and I watch media and I see, you know, whether it's a police officer or a mobster, whoever it is, you know, that, you know, in mainstream media, there's an empowerment that comes with possessing a gun. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, if you have a pistol in particular, that's a symbol of empowerment. And this is what we are raising kids with, you know, a symbol of empowerment. And of course, some kids hear it in the rap lyrics, and now they can play video games. The other thing, in terms of like a general influence of media violence, is that, you know, killing people, and of course, so often it used to be in the, you know, under the old standards of media, the media wasn't supposed to show somebody being killed. Oftentimes in the old films, you'd see the person holding the gun. You might see them shoot the gun, but you didn't see the bullet hitting the victim. Where
right.
So often in today's media, that's what you see. And over the years, you know, I've seen, you know, in crime reporting that you know, that a police officer will mention, or the newspaper reporter will mention, that the person who committed what seemed to be largely a senseless murder, said, I just wanted to see what it felt like to kill somebody. And then a third influence of the media violence, I think, on vulnerable individuals is vengeance killing. Again, you know, in the old days, under the old Hays Code that governed the Motion Picture Association, you were never supposed to show killing for vengeance, and certainly in a positive light. If you showed it, it was always bad. Well, today, some of the biggest stars in film will be heroes in films where they commit some form of vengeance killing, frequently unlawful. But, you know, when it gets into causation in a particular case, it's clearly difficult to say that, you know, the media violence caused this particular crime. But when you look at the different ways that media violence can and does impact people, You know, it seems to me that, you know, in 1960, you know, you look at the murder rate per capita, and it's phenomenally low. And you look at the number of mass murders that took place, let's say, in 1950 or 1960 per capita in comparison to what we have today. Mm-hmm. And it's like night and day. And question, is it really true that the explanation for all of this is the availability of guns? And I make the argument that that is not the underlying explanation for the increase in murders, mass murders in particular.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. If you had to take a stab at it, Jared Lee Loughner, you're following this. What do you think, what do you make of the 22-year-old guy who went in and went to assassinate the congresswoman?
Well, I tell you, you know, one thing that kept, you know, in reading the stories about him is he obviously had an interest in guns considerable long before he developed this insanity that came along. And again, it's possible that his father was a gun advocate, you know, or a big user of guns, that he liked to go out and shoot pistols in a range, and he took, you know, the young boy, and they went out, and he became quite a marksman when he was in high school.
Right.
But the other explanation for why he developed an infatuation with guns is because this is what he was exposed to in the media. And in his case early on, you know, he wasn't trying to kill people when he first started to, you know, use guns. But when something, you know, some wrong turn happened in his life, that's young infatuation of guns that, in my opinion, probably had a significant element with the media, turned deadly.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say, you know, that, again, you know, when you talk about causation, it's difficult. But what the one thing that caught my attention with him is in high school, he had developed this, you know, somewhat out of the ordinary interest in guns. And my guess is that that interest grew from his exposure to some form of media.
Yeah, it could be. It'd be interesting to if some of that starts to spill out, because of course right now he's lawyered up, he's not saying anything. So I don't know if we'll ever get any of those details. But I would be curious as to what it was, what were his major influences, because there would have to be some. So we're certainly ruling out the whole political talk and all that. And his friends have said that he'd never even listened to any radio or cable stations or any such thing. So all that whole blame game thing, I think, don't you, that we can pretty much erase that.
Well, you know, it may turn out that, you know, I follow these highly publicized mass murders. I'm always looking for clues. You know, typically you find this may be the, so far I have not seen any direct reference to some form of violent media that this young man had been exposed to. Typically, if you look in, especially the school shootings, almost invariably the kid was, you know, was into some form of violent media, whether it be videos or some particular motion picture, whatever it would be, rap lyrics in some cases. Now, that doesn't mean that that form of media caused the crime. But, you know, when you have a common phenomena, you know, it's wise to look for a common source. Now, the liberal media looks to the availability of guns, and in their minds, the whole explanation for all these mass murders, and particularly these senseless mass murders, is the availability of guns. But again, I like many Americans, grew up in a day and age when guns were available to everyone and people hunted with them. And, you know, I know I used to get in more than my share of fights when I was growing up. But I think I'm honest in saying that I don't think it ever crossed my mind to go home and get one of my dad's guns and shoot somebody. It didn't even cross my mind, because nobody had ever put that thought into my mind. The violence in the media that I grew up in, which was considerable, was World War II, cowboy and Indians, cops and robbers, where it was clear that the cops were the good guys and the robbers were the bad guys. You didn't grow up. One thing I have to say, when I grew up, you didn't grow up wanting to be Al Capone, you know, the great notorious bootlegger gangster.
Sure.
You grew up wanting to be Elliot Ness, the FBI agent who put him behind bars, because that is the way the media portrayed violence. If you wanted to be violent, you could become a cop or join the military. But you didn't get a gun and go out and want to shoot your neighbors to see how it felt to kill somebody.
Yeah, well said. What a note to end on. Robert, thank you so much. Morality in Media, an interesting discussion. And hopefully we'll talk to you down the road, and maybe we'll be talking about a few other things then.
We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
You really can lose weight while you're sleeping. Guaranteed. AffinityDiet.com introduces Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet. Great tasting Lose and Snooze from AffinityDiet.com is the first step in our guaranteed weight loss system. Lose and Snooze will help your body get a deep restorative sleep without the harmful side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And during deep natural sleep, your body starts to shed unwanted pounds, build lean muscle, and lose inches. Add AffinityDiet.com's One Day Diet waivers and your metabolism keeps going with all the vitamins and minerals you need with no rebound effect. But don't worry, you're never more than 24 hours from your favorite foods. Learn more about Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet at AffinityDiet.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y diet.com, or call toll free 855-663-3438. That's 855-663-3438. Finally, a diet that succeeds where others have failed, from AffinityDiet.com.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives, the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your own family. Now, this man has made some outrageous predictions over the years. The crazy part is, he's usually right. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. Recently, he created a video which you can watch online for free detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet, and it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica12.com. That's endofamerica12.com. Watch the free video at www.endofamerica12.com. That's endofamerica12.com.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
The headers, what's making news, the water cooler buzz across the country and elsewhere outside the borders. I want to say hi to the people in Thailand who are tuned in to America Tonight, and those in Australia, and those in Sweden and Spain as well. I appreciate all the emails I've been getting, many of you telling me what you've listened to, and I think you know the shows better than I do. So, bravo. Thank you. All right, we started off telling you about Martin Luther King and his famous speech, Martin Luther King Jr., I Have a Dream. And remember, that's back in the 60s. Now here we are, 2011, and how far have we come? In fact, some of my emails today from many of you were, how far do you think we've come as a nation since Martin Luther King's speech? And in some ways, we've made amazing, amazing strides. I say it probably once or twice a show that I couldn't be prouder to be an American. And even though we vent and get upset and we attack the politicians because we don't like what they're doing and we think there's not enough action and why is there this and why is there that, the brilliance of America is the fact that we can do that. The fact that you can have a radio show where you can criticize your government. Many other places, you could not do that. And that is the freedom that we all enjoy. So in many ways, since the days of Martin Luther King, we've grown by leaps and bounds. In other ways, sometimes I think we take steps backwards or even sideways. Now, healthcare, the big stomping grounds once again inside the Beltway over the tug of war over healthcare, because the House is going to vote on a repeal of the president's healthcare overhaul. That's going to happen on Wednesday. Remember, that was one of the campaign promises of a lot of the freshman Congress people and senators, too, by the way, who ran on a platform to get rid of health care as it stands now. John Boehner, the House Speaker, is adamant about this. He scheduled a floor debate actually for Tuesday and a vote on Wednesday. He says he's keeping with the repeal and replace mantra. So there are going to be several House committees that are coming up with alternatives to the current law. Now, the health care repeal vote was supposed to be last week. It was a good thing that it was tabled because of the shootings in Arizona that killed 6 and wounded 13, as we all know, and the assassination attempt on Congresswoman Giffords. The measure will pass in the Republican-led House. It will probably not clear. I would be stunned if it cleared the Senate or survived a presidential veto. Of course, I doubt that. Republicans know that the chances are virtually impossible of an outright repeal. But there's going to be a few attempts to defund portions of the measure or even pull out, eliminate, whatever you want to say, throw out provisions in the next couple of months. I've said this a couple times. I'll just reiterate it one more time. I truly believe when this was passed, the idea was get it through. I gave the analogy the other day of a pizza where there's too much crap on it, and you hate that because you have a bunch of people in the room that can't make up their mind. So to pacify everybody, you throw all kinds of nonsense on there. I mean, it's ridiculous. From hamburger to anchovies to black olives, whatever. And I think that's what happened with healthcare. What I believe in the end will happen is not so much trashing it, throwing it away, coming up with a completely new idea. I think it will be trashing elements of the healthcare law. The big sticking point is going to be the mandate, the mandatory deal on getting health insurance. Because many of the Democrats who voted for this, of course, are going to stick by that mandate, saying that that's what hurts others and all that sort of stuff. But the problem is that mandate is the thing that is also the one piece of that legislation that infuriates so many when they're asked in polls or when they went to town hall meetings why they didn't like what was being proposed with health care. One, because there were such broad strokes, they didn't really know what it was going to mean. And what do you think people want when it comes to health care? Good health care that's affordable. Good health care that's affordable. It's that easy. Because nobody wants to see the premiums go up. And unfortunately, some of the premiums have already gone up. So some of the Democrats are already saying that they're going to cooperate. And I think this is a preview of things to come in eliminating certain things that are considered too excessive, too burdensome to business, for example. So there is one that probably hits home with a few of you. So many people now have their own businesses, they're entrepreneurs. It doesn't take much to be a quotes entrepreneur and put out your shingle as to what, how much money you're making and what's going on. That's a whole different story. But one of the things that's supposed to take effect in 2012 would require businesses to issue those 1099 tax forms, if you remember, to anybody they do business with where they purchase anything that's over $600. And boy, if you think about it, do you pay a web guy $100, $50, more than that? Think about how sticky that would be for a lot of small businesses, and the paperwork would be just too burdensome when they're trying to create jobs, trying to thrive, survive, all that sort of stuff. So I bet you that one gets knocked out. I don't see a lot of problems with that. The other one, the mandatory deal, not so sure about that. Remember all the acrimonious, hot exchanges between the Democrats and the Republicans in the last Congress. What happens this time around? This is the whole shooting match right here. It really, really is. Next week, America Tonight is going to be in D.C. talking about healthcare, talking about what works, talking about what should stay, talking with people who really know it well. We're looking at all sides of this issue, the pros, the cons, the good, the bad, the ugly, because I still contend that it's about taking out the pieces, about clearing things up and making it stronger. I think completely trashing it, I don't know that that works, because the pre-existing conditions everybody agrees on. And there are a bunch of things in the bill that most of us, or law, because it's not a bill anymore, law that most of us would agree on. So can you take all the other stuff out? That's the question, though. How much of that would stay in? House set for the health care repeal vote. That's a big header. That's a big headline. Here's another big headline. Congresswoman Giffords, target of assassination, the 22-year-old Jared Lee Loeffner, who sits in prison now, waiting to go back to court on the 24th. Everybody wants to know daily, what is her condition? She had another operation. She had to had an eye socket, or she had a problem with the eye socket because of the bullet, and they repaired that, and apparently there were bone fragments that were pushing down. And they believe, the doctors anyway, that she really recognized her husband when he went to see her during the day, because, I mean, this operation was a minor thing, too. They call it minor. Of course, to me, anything where you're talking about the eyes, but 2 hours, a minor operation, and they're saying that she's back where she was before the surgery. It was just those bone fragments. When her husband was there, she recognized him. They took out the breathing tube, as you know, and now she's seems to be doing a lot better. And apparently, there was a report that she gave her husband, Mark Kelly, a neck rub. But does that mean she recognized him? What's the deal? Is she seeing out of both eyes? They say there are examinations they have to do. Anyway, they're optimistic. Obviously, things are happening. She's moving her arms and legs and all that stuff and had this minor operation. So I would say the prognosis looks to be pretty good. You don't know. I'm not a doctor. And it's just another update. Also, finally, on the whole Tucson thing, Sarah Palin. She made the headlines again. This time she made the headlines because she said, look, I'm not going to shut up. When she pretty much was accused of being the reason by so many people for what happened with Jared Lee Loeffner and what happened in Tucson, she decided that she was going to release, remember that statement, she did the whole YouTube thing and all that other stuff. And she did her first interview, and in that interview on Monday, she beat back those critics and said, it's not me, and I'm not going to stop talking. Any thoughts on the show? Send them to me, americatonight.net.